أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك توبا وتمتعه فيها طويلا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
I'll quote some phrases from this beautiful Ziyarat Jamiat al-Kabira. There were a lot of questions that were raised yesterday, and inshallah we'll come to that point. But bear in mind these phrases of Ziyarat Jamiat al-Kabira, and that automatically, inshallah, will answer many of your doubts. Here Imam says, now this is one of those beautiful ziyarat, whichever Imam you intend to address, you can address them with this beautiful ziyarat and marhum Allama Amini. He says that someone who understands this ziyarat has understood indeed the concept of imamat. Here in some of these phrases says that وَمَنْ وَالَاكُمْ فَقَدْ وَالَ اللَّهِ. Whosoever accepts you, the imams, as the mawla, فَقَدْ وَالَ اللَّهِ, has indeed accepted Allah as his mawla. وَمَنْ عَادَاكُمْ فَقَدْ عَادَ اللَّهِ. And whosoever hates you or whosoever takes you as their enemy has indeed extended his animosity or taken Allah as his enemy. مَنْ أَحَبَّكُمْ فَقَدْ أَحَبَّ اللَّهِ. Whosoever loves you, the Imams, has indeed loved Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ أَبْغَذَكُمْ فَقَدْ أَبْغَذَ اللَّهِ. Whosoever hates you, the Imams, has indeed hated Allah. Continues and comes to this point, says مَنْ أَتَاكُمْ نَجَى. Whosoever comes to you has sought salvation. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ هَلَكْ. Whosoever does not come to you, the Imams, will be ruined. إِلَى اللَّهِ تَدْعُونَ. To Allah you invite. وَعَلَيْهِ تَدُلُّونَ. And you guide people to Him. وَبِهِ تُؤْمِنُونَ وَلَهُ تُسَلِّمُونَ. And then comes to this point and says سَعَدَ مَنْ وَالَاكُمْ. Prosperous is someone who takes you as the Imam or وَالَاكُمْ, loves you. وَهَلَكَ مَنْ عَادَاكُمْ. Whosoever hates you is ruined. خَابَ مَنْ جَحَدَكُمْ وَذَلَّ مَنْ فَالَكُمْ. فَازَ مَنْ تَمَسَّكَ بِكُمْ. Prosperous will be someone who adheres and clings to you. وَأَمِنَ مَنْ لَجَأَ إِلَيْكُمْ وَسَلِمَ مَنْ صَدَّقَكُمْ وَهُدِيَ مَنْ اَعْتَصَمَ. Now it says that مَنْ اتَّبَعَكُمْ فَالْجَنَّةُ مَأْوَاهُ. That is, if you come to the Imams and follow them, says the result will be the heaven, will be your abode. فَالْجَنَّةُ مَأْوَاهُ. وَمَنْ خَالَفَكُمْ فَالنَّارُ مَسْوَاهُ. And whosoever stands against you, and their abode will be the hell. One of the other rulings that we have, now inshallah, in the talk, we'll talk on this a little bit in detail, and that is when it comes to salam, that is, if someone wishes you salam, it is wajib on you that you reply. If that person is a Muslim, you have to reply. If he is not, then that salam, jawab is also not wajib, not mandatory. If, for example, someone who wasn't a Muslim, wasn't a non-believer, comes and says salam to you whilst you are saying your prayers, it is not wajib for you to reply to him. But if it was a Muslim, it is wajib that you must reply. Now, looking into the etiquette or the adab which Quran teaches us, the Holy Prophet teaches us, which can be seen, for example, in that letter that was written by Marhum Imam Khomeini to Mikhail Gorbachev, the head of the Soviet Union of that time, which was delivered by Ayatollah Usman Jawadi Amuli. It was quite a lengthy invitation to Islam, which was like the invitations Rasulullah had during his time. Now, after all that invitation, towards the end of it says, وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَىٰ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ الْهُدَىٰ. That is, salam be upon someone who seeks and takes guidance, who chooses guidance. That is, if he doesn't, that salam also doesn't deserve to that person. Because salam is the name of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. Salam attracts the mercy of Allah, and salam brings about salamati and well-being to an individual. And someone who has stood against Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, doesn't deserve that salam. So it is as simple as that. So salam is wajib when a person who has extended that salam to you is a Muslim, and there are rules and etiquettes to be observed even then. Now, the talk we had started, it's about compassion towards spouse and children, and inshallah we'll shed some more light on this and that glorious saying of the Holy Prophet where he says that from among this dunya of yours, three things I adore a lot: women, fragrances, and وَقُرَّةَ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. That is, the joy, the delight of my eyes is prayers. But before that, days of azhar, days of mourning of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. Now, here, mourning for Aba Abdullah, in fact, is portraying our love to this household of wife, to Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and in particular to the Holy Prophet. It is, in fact, when we cry for Aba Abdullah, this azhar, mourning, shedding tears, is mawaddat. As Quran says, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. That Rasulullah, he has performed a job, and someone who has performed a task needs to be paid. Now here Rasulullah says, for the services that I have provided, I don't need anything from you, nothing. The only thing which I want from you is that you love my Ahlul Bayt, my household. Says, if you love my household, that's enough. As if you have paid me, that what I deserve has been given to me. And the more the love and bond we have, the more the tears are shed for Aba Abdullah. It is as if that mawaddat which Rasulullah is asking for, we have tried to work on it and come a little bit closer to that, what Rasulullah has taught us. Now, mourning for Aba Abdullah is sympathizing with the greatest of the tragedies that hit the Ahlul Bayt, and among the greatest of tragedies, or the first of the tragedies that unfolds in Islam. Here we find that Shaykh Sadhu quotes a beautiful hadith from our sixth Imam, Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam. Here Imam says that Rahimallahu Shi'atana, that Allah has, may Allah have mercy on our Shias. Shi'atana, Wallahum al-Mu'minun. That is, our Shias by God are the Mu'mineen. In Quran, wherever you find the word Muttaqeen, Mu'mineen, it means the Shias. Faqad Wallah Sharakuna fil Musibati, that by God they are with us in this tragedy which has unfolded. Bitul al-Husn wal-Hasra, that by God our Shias are the Mu'mineen, by God they indeed with their sorrow and regret were always with us in these tragedies that unfolded on us. And there, another reporter, he says that once I come to the house of our sixth Imam, Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam, reporter is Muawiyah bin Wahab, and he says that I come and I see that Imam is on his prayer mat. I get his permission, I come and sit. He hadn't completed his du'as or whatever the amal he was busy with. He says, فَجَلَسْتُ حَتَّى. Then I sat by him and I heard him whisper. That is, after his prayers, these are the du'as of the Imam. What does he say? He says to Allah, Ya man khassana bil karamati, that is, O who has exalted us, given us this rank of generosity, of karama, وَخَصَّنَا بِالْوَسِيَّةِ وَوَعَدَنَا الشَّفَاعَةِ. That is all these are the rights which Allah has given to the Ahlul Bayt. He says that who has given us this invitation of wasiyya, of advising people, giving advice to people, and also who has promised us with this shafa'at, that shafa'at has been given to us to help out others. وَأَعْطَانَا عِلْمَ مَا مَضَى continues and comes to this point and says that اغفر لي ولإخواني ولزواري قبر أبي عبد الله الحسين, says forgive me and my brothers and those who visit the visitors of the grave of my father Hussein. And then it comes to this point after this lengthy dua, Imam says فَرْحَمْ تِلْكَ الْوُجُوبَ الَّتِي قَدْ غَيَّرَتْهَا الشَّمْسِ, that is, Allah, have mercy on those faces that the sun has changed them. That is, someone who has traveled to Karbala and in this heat or in that cold weather, after all the skin, it gets disturbed. Says, have mercy on them. And then says that, وَرْحَمْ تِلْكَ الْخُدُودَ الَّتِي تَقَلَّبَتْ عَلَى حُفْرَةِ أَبِي عَبْدِ اللَّهِ, that is, those faces who had bowed down on this dust and the clay of Hussein, have mercy on them. Furthermore, says that وَرْحَمْ تِلْكَ الْأَعْيُنَ الَّتِي جَرَتْ دُمُوعَهَا, that is, those eyes that had shed tears on Hussein, have mercy on them. الَّتِي جَرَتْ رَحْمَةً لَنَا وَرْحَمْ تِلْكَ الْقُلُوبَ الَّتِي جَزَعَتْ, that have mercy on those hearts who cried for Abdullah and Hussein. وَرْحَمْ السَّرْخَةَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ لَنَا, all those wailing, those crying, those mournings that were for us, the Ahlul Bayt, Allah have mercy on all of them. And then says, اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَسْتَوْدِعُكَ تِلْكَ الْأَنفُسِ وَتِلْكَ الْأَبْدَانِ حَتَّى نُوَافِيهِمْ عَلَى الْحَوْضِ يَوْمَ الْعَطَشِ. Beautiful dua Imam has for you and me. Those who remember, those who recite, those who cry for Abu Abdullah and Hussein. And then says that, Allah, I surrender, submit these bodies and these souls to you until the day of judgment, the day of that thirst. Says that until we will pay our loyalty to them. And there is no one more loyal than Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Says that someone who possesses this great rank of mourning and remembering about Abdullah and Hussein, for them such huge rewards are there, and for them Ma'asumeen alayhim as-salam have promised as such. It was mentioned that Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi
أرحم الناس بالنساء والصبيان. He was among the most compassionate towards women and children. And again, it was mentioned that he says, from this dunya of yours, I like three things: women, fragrances, and prayers. Now, the first person of creation, he says that one of my dearest in this world is love towards women. Now, when the Prophet addresses and loves it as such, it applies to each one of us being a adherent and a member of his nation. So it applies to even each one of us. So this love is hoped with every mu'min, that is, to love and to portray your love towards the women. Now, in the chapter of Nikah, in the books of Hadith, we find in a report that mentions that loving women is among the signs of one's faith. And love towards the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. That is, you love women, it is like loving Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. Now, what exactly it means over here? It says that kullu man ishtadda lana hubban ishtadda lil nisa hubban wa lil halwa. Says one whose love towards us, the Ahlul Bayt, it strengthens. His love towards the women also, it increases. And towards sweet as well, it increases. Now, here it says that normally loving and caring people are more inclined towards sweets. And hot-tempered people, they are more inclined towards pickles and sour. In many reports, it seems that the believers or wilayat, they are inclined towards sweets, love sweets more. Now, over here we find a glorious hadith from Abu Abdullah Hussein alayhi salatu wa salam. Imam Hussein, he donated, gave away sugar a lot. Now when asked that why do you donate sugar so much, he said, because I love sweet a lot. And then he says that the Almighty Allah has said, لَن تَنَعْلَ الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, that if you want to do good, it will not be counted unless you give away that what you like and love best. He says, I love sugar most, so that's why I give away sugar most. Now elsewhere it says that الْمُؤْمِنُ عَزْبٌ يُحِبُّ الْعُذُوبَ وَالْمُؤْمِنُ حُلْبٌ يُحِبُّ الْحَلَاوَ, that is, a mu'min is gleeful and loves joy, and a mu'min is sweet and loves sweets. Here, in another glorious quote, our sixth Imam, he says that وَإِنَّا وَشِيَعَتُنَا خُلِقْنَا مِنَ الْحَلَاوَ فَنَحْنُ نُحِبُّ الْحَلْوَى, that is, we and our Shias were created of sweet character. Therefore, we love the sweet. Or كُلَّ مَزْدَادَ الْعَبْدُ إِيمَانًا إِزْدَادَ حُبًّا لِلنِّسَاءِ, elsewhere says as such, that when a person, his iman increases, says his love towards women also increases. Al-'abdu kullu ma izdada lin-nisa hubban izdada fil iman fadlan. And whenever you find that love towards women has increased in an individual, his iman also, the grace of it also increases. Now the more one's iman and wilaya, the more one is closer to God. Our Prophet, he says that Ahlul Bayt and Imam Al-Asr, Ajallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, their love towards an individual, towards this entire packet, and also towards women also increase. Now the meaning over here of loving women, God forbid, it's not in that negative or that sin side of affairs, not in the sense of a sin. Because the halal that Allah has designed by the Almighty Allah, it has to be within those parameters and within those limits. Because we do have teachings in Najib Balawa here, Amir Mu'mineen, he says that mu'min, among the qualities of his, is that maytatun shahwatuhu, that his shahwa is, mayta means dead. Over here it means that it is within those parameters and those limits that Allah has laid. So when it talks about love towards women, it's within those parameters, and not within, beyond those parameters, exceeding and coming into the horizon of sins. Now why, from among all of these blessings that Allah has created, Rasulullah, he chooses only these three? Whence there are so many good edible things in this world, all these different ways to adorn, to beautify, to wear, why only women he has chosen? Now, to understand this, looking into the teaching, once again, we find that women, they are the reflection of beauty of Allah, the Baraka wa Ta'ala. The term used for women in our books or in the reports of Ma'sumeen, it's Rayhana. Or even in Najib Balawa, Imam says that Al-Mar'atu Rayhanatun Laysat Biqahramana. That is, a woman is a delicate flower. She is not a superhero. She is not a champion. So that delicacy has been given to a woman by Allah, and that delicacy has to be maintained. But we find in these new modern world that we are living in, equal jobs, equal opportunities, woman has to be equal to man. And they come to a point and it doesn't look nice. For example, a woman who has been designed to be such delicate, sitting behind a bulldozer, for example, doesn't look nice. Or a woman sitting behind a tank, flying a big, huge aeroplane, doesn't look nice. Now when you want equal opportunities for women like men, then that package deal has to be there. Then they come and say that, okay, if you want equal opportunities, then whatever a man deserves, a woman also should deserve. If a man deserves such and such a punishment for such and such a crime, a woman also should deserve exactly the same. Now for example, being handcuffed of a woman doesn't look nice. Those delicate hands which Allah has created, jewelry, bangles, all these ornaments, they look nice, not handcuffs. And you see a lot over here pulling, cars being pulled by the road, and you find handcuffs in the woman's hand. When you say, don't want to have that, that's what you wanted. You wanted equal jobs, equal opportunities. So this also is equally given to you. So certain things don't fit women. Why? Al-women al-mar'atu rayhanatun laysat biqahramana, as Amir al-Mu'mineen says. So The more man draws closer to that ultimate beauty, which is Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ وَيُحِبُّ كُلَّ جَمَالٍ, Allah is the all beautiful, is the all ultimate beauty, and what يُحِبُّ كُلَّ جَمَالٍ, and Allah loves all that which is beautiful. So women, they are the reflection of the beauty of Allah, and the term used for woman is رَيْحَانَةٌ, points out at the same beauty of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that is, the more a man draws closer to that ultimate beauty of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he draws closer to the woman also, and that is because she is a reflection or inclination of that reflection of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So that way, that bond towards a woman also increases. Or the second definition we have is that women, they are reflected, or they are the reflection of kindness, reflection of care, reflection of feelings, delicacy. That what exists in them does not exist in man. And a woman is embedded with kindness, grace, beauty, feeling, and he is attracted to all this grace and kindness which exists in her. Yesterday it was mentioned, Ibn Abi al-Hadid, he says that, I wonder why the followers of the second, they are so rough and tough, enraged. And why the followers of Amir al-Mu'mineen, they are so kind, they are so caring, they are so generous. Because they are a reflection of Amir al-Mu'mineen and they are a reflection of his. So whoever we reflect, we become a reflection of his. So one of the other qualities, that is the third definition over here, says that Mu'mineen, qualities of a Mu'mineen, among the qualities of Mu'mineen, is that they regard and extend support and help someone who is weak. Now when they see someone weak, they are kind and compassionate. And a woman, she has been created weak, feeble by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Quran says, الرجال قوامون على النساء. That is, men, they are strong, they are made the custodians, they are powerful. Women, they are weak. Now, when a woman has been created weak, feeble, delicate by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, mu'min, he graces her. That is graced by a mu'min's regard. That is, woman who is so weak, she is graced by a woman, by a mu'min's regard. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he too points out at this aspect and advises as such. And in his final teachings that he has, in his final advice and wasiyah, he says that usikum bil da'ifain, that is, I advise you to the two weak. Who are they? An-nisa, women, wa ma malakat aymanukum, that is, those who are under your care. Now the Prophet, his regard is due to their weakness and the Almighty too. Because of this feature which women possess, because they are weak, because they are feeble, he too says that, I will have more mercy on women than I will have on men. That is the word of Allah. Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, أَكْثَرُ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ مِنَ الْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ, that is, most of those to whom the heaven will be assigned, says, they are the mustazafin. Now who are the mustazafin, the weak? Says, an-nisa, among them are the women. Why? عَلِمَ اللَّهُ ذَعْفَهُنَّ فَرَحِمَهُنَّ, says, Allah knew that they are weak, and because they are weak, he has more mercy on them. So when in all these glorious sayings that we have, Rasulullah, he says that from this world of yours, I adore women, it's because of this aspect. Because of they are weak, and a woman, he has to be a reflection of Allah, and because Allah, his mercy towards them is a lot, we too have to be the likewise. Now what we see in this dreadful environment of this world today, all these disasters that pop up every now and then, these family disputes, men being horrible towards women, all this, a satanic reflection that is seen in men, that is, all that horror that is present, all the bad and evil which is present in shaitan is reflected in men, as a result of which they oppress, and all this zulm is seen towards the women. Now a person to the Prophet, he says that, I love you so much, Ya Rasulullah, And then Rasulullah in reply says that be prepared to be poor. Now poor over here doesn't mean being penniless, losing money. No. Says that you will find yourself poor and needy when you love me too much. Because I am a reflection of Allah and I find myself nothing in this entire existence of Allah, and the best title which is given to him is Abdullah, a servant of Allah, that is someone who possesses nothing. Abd means a slave. A slave, he has no might of his. A slave, he has no honor of his own. A slave, he doesn't possess anything by himself. So all that he has is nothing, and all that is given to him is by someone who is everything, who possesses everything. So someone who loves Rasulullah, he says that be prepared to be poor, to be faqir, to be needy. That is confronting the existence of Allah, who is needless, we are the needy. Says, Ya ayyuhan nas, antumul fuqara ilallah. That is, O mankind, you are the beggars, the needy towards Allah. So here we find that someone who bonds with Rasulullah has to be a reflection of Rasulullah. And he says someone who is a reflection of the Prophet has to be a reflection of God. Because God is all that merciful, we also have to have that compassion, that mercy towards everyone at large, and in particular towards those who are weak. And here says that women have been created weak, feeble and delicate, and towards them so much of compassion and love has to be shown. Says that Al-Faqru Fakhri. Faqr, poverty, being needy is my pride. وَبِهِ أَفْتَخِرُ عَلَى سَائِرِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. Says, for that faqr of mine which has been given to me, I am proud amongst all of the prophets. That is, the only best thing which I possess is this faqr of mine, which is nothing, which is compared, that is, in the presence of Allah the Baraka Ta'ala, I am nothing. Elsewhere says that أُحِبُّ اللَّهِ, that when you say that I love Allah, here he says that فَاسْتَعِبْ لِلْبَلَىٰ, be prepared for the tests. Bala means affliction. Bala means test. And you've seen, we've seen that whosoever is nearer and closer in this vicinity to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, you find that so many tests are there, so many afflictions are there. For example, Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, who was tested in a different way. All those afflictions that poured down on him were huge, were immense, which cannot be compared with anything. Why was that? Because he was so close to him. Here says that إِنَّ الْبَلَىٰ لِلْظَالِمْ أَدَبٌ. Bala, that is afflictions, problems that we see. Now, inshallah, we'll touch this topic on bala in the forthcoming nights, what exactly they mean. There are different definitions to it. Sometimes it means affliction, sometimes it means chest, sometimes it means problems, etc. So here says that bala, when a problem or an affliction unfolds on someone who is an oppressor, zalim, does not necessarily mean someone who has come out with a gun. That is a type of a zalim. Zalim could be me, could be you. That's someone who has done wrong. Talabtu nafsi, as we read in Dua Kumayn, that the wrong that we have done. Says, towards a zalim, this bala is adabun, it's to correct himself. Walil mu'min imtihanun, and for a mu'min, this bala which unfolds, it is a test for him. Walil anbiya darajatun. Now, anbiya, when they are tested and afflictions pour down on them, it is a rank for them. Walil awliya karamatun, and for awliya, it is a karam. Now, the second thing which Rasulullah mentioned in this hadith, first of all, it was that adoration or the devotion which he has towards the women. Women also, it was mentioned, it is not towards the sin side of it. It is towards the women which Allah has made halal within those parameters of halal, that devotion has to be there. And that too because man, a mu'min, is a reflection of Allah, and he too is a follower of Rasulullah, and as they are the reflection of the two, in reply and in return, they also have to be kinder and more caring towards women within those parameters that Allah has laid. Now, the second thing which was mentioned was that Rasulullah's love towards fragrances. Hadith says that he used to spend more on fragrances than he used to spend on foodstuff, on his people. Says that when it comes to a moment, he has to be clean, tidy, he has to be well-dressed, and he has to be well-fragranced. Now, says that when you want to say your prayers, and your prayers, if they are performed once a person is well fragrant, says Salatul Mutatayyib afdalu min sab'ina salat bighayri thibin. That is, someone who offers his prayers with a perfume, fragrance, or itra on him, says that prayer of his is 70 times afdal and better than prayers offered without any itra, without any fragrance. So just these simple tips and reminders, we find that this prayer that we offer, it can be multiplied by 70 only for applying this fragrance. At-tib yashuddul qalb. That is, if we want to strengthen our heart, now heart meaning the soul of an individual, that can be strengthened with this tib, with this fragrance. Now the third thing which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I love from this dunya of yours is prayers. Qurratu ayni fi salat, that is, the delight of my eyes are these prayers. And that glorious advice which he has to his companion Abathar says, Ja'ala Allah jalla sana'u qurratu ayni fi salat muhabbaba ila salat muhabbaba ilayya salat kama habbaba ila al-jaya al-da'am. And to me, prayers, they are so beloved as to someone who is hungry, to him food is so beloved. And then says, وَإِلَذَّمْآنَ الْمَاءِ, someone who is thirsty, who is in need of water, and he loves water that much. Says, someone who is hungry, when he is fed, he is full. Someone who is thirsty, when he is quenched, his thirst is gone. And then says, وَأَنَا لَا أَشْبَعْ مِنَ السَّلَاةِ. And then says that I am never filled with salah. No matter how much I pray, I want to pray more. Because that is the delight, the joy. And even if we find in the teachings of those who have been associated with prayers, they say that what joy they have found in prayers. If all the riches of this world were given to them, they say we will not give away this joy that is given to us, that is via the prayers, with anything among the riches of this world. And then he says, Arihna ya Bilal, that Allah, Bilal, ease me. How? That is by saying that Azan, and when that call of Azan was heard, Rasulullah was at rest. That was the best joy of his. Now for Salat, we find that so much of importance has been given, and inshallah we'll try to talk on this issue a little bit more, that what are the duties that we need to apply onto our program before this prayer, which is this beautiful gem that has been given to us by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it is performed. Looking into the seerah of Ma'sumin alayhim as-salam, we find that whenever they were hit, or whenever there was a problem, and they wanted that problem to be solved, for example, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says that إِذَا هَالَهُ شَيْءٌ فَزِعَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. That is, whenever he wanted help, he sought refuge in prayers. From the prayers, he sought help, and then recited this ayah saying that وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Get help from prayers. Or even in that Surah Al-Dahr, we find when Hasanayn alayhi as-salam fell ill, here Rasulullah instructs Amir al-Mu'mineen Hazrat Zahra to perform 3 days of fasting, and then the story is in Surah Al-Insan, Surah Al-Dahr. So whenever they were in need, they were in need of help, they got stuck, wasta'inu bisabri wassalam. Sabr is defined here, patience, as fasting, salat is prayers. So even we, when we get stuck, offer a tour of the prayer and we'll find a way out. So this is how we can teach ourselves. Now when it comes to prayers, it is bad that we always have no presence of mind and soul in our prayers. If a person is ill, sick, he goes and sees a doctor to get himself cured. Being in pain all the time is not desired. Even doctors say that you shouldn't be having pain all the time. Take something so that the pain of yours is relieved. So being in pain is not good. So always offering prayers without the presence of the heart and soul, that is bad. Once in a while if that happens, it is bearable. All the time, it's bad. It has to be corrected. And it was repeatedly mentioned here that the glorious saying from our sixth Imam, he says that throughout your life, if you were to offer 100,000 prayers, and from those 100,000 prayers of yours, if just one or two were offered correctly, Imam says that as by the barakah of that one and two prayers of yours, all the other faulty prayers of yours will be corrected. So it seems as if it is a huge big challenge that we have to keep on constantly correcting this prayer of yours. And here in another glorious hadith of Qudsi, the Almighty, he says to the Prophet, says, "Man ahdatha wa lam yatawadda," that someone who had invalidated his wuzu. And here says that if he does not perform a wuzu, faqad jafani, he has been disloyal to me. And then says someone who invalidated his wuzu, has performed a wuzu, does not offer a two rakat prayer, has been disloyal. And then says someone invalidated, was not in wuzu, made a wuzu, performed a wuzu, offered a two rakat prayer. And then if he asks Allah for whatever his needs and requirements are, and then says, wada'ani, called upon me, وَلَمْ أَجِبْهُ فِي مَا سَأَلَنِي, and if I do not respond to him for all that he has asked me for, مَنْ أَمْنْ أَمْرِ دِينِهِ وَدُنْيَا, regarding his deen and his dunya, فَقَدْ جَفَوْتُ, Allah says, it is me who is being disloyal to him now. وَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّنْ جَافْ, and I'm not a disloyal Lord. Just for a simple wuzu, a simple two rakat prayer, and a simple approach to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he says that I will give whatever you want, and then says that istainu bis sabri was salat, with that whenever it comes to seeking help, you have to seek that help by fasting and by prayers. Now we talked about being compassionate towards women and children, inshallah. Tomorrow we'll talk about being compassionate towards children. Now closing remark here on this talk over here says that ma akramun nisa illa kareemun, that is someone who respects, someone who glorifies, someone who regards women is kareem himself. Who is kareem? Looking into Quran, kareem is that shaheed of Surah Yasin. Quran says that angels are kareem. And someone who possesses this beautiful character of regarding, respecting, glorifying, exalting women is also classified as kareem. Ziyarat Jamiat al-Kabira is used to address imams and ma'asumeen. They are kareem. That is the title given to them. Says, because of this simple, compassionate attitude of yours, you will be classified as kareem. And then says, wala ahanahunna illa la'imun, and no one disrespects them, no one insults them, but that he is la'im. Who is la'im? La'im is shaitan. Someone who was ousted from the presence of shaitan, from the presence of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, is la'im. And we say that a'udhu billah min ash-shaytan al-la'im al-rajim, that is, we seek refuge in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala from that accursed shaitan. So,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad. One of the questions that was asked yesterday, it's regarding, a hadith was quoted that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
To seek the pleasure of Hazrat Zahra alayhi salam, he will, to those hell has been assigned, he will help them out, he will jump in the hell and bring them out. Now the question was that how come Rasulullah can enter the hell, for example. Now we in Quran, now first of all, among the greatest of the creations of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, among the greatest of his blessings is the hell and the heaven. Hell itself is also a blessing. It's a correction facility for the wrongdoers. So they will be corrected there. For many, depending on the amount of wrong they have done in this dunya, first of all, we did talk on this issue in the month of Ramadan, and that is the concept of takfir, the facility of takfir, and that is how Allah covers the wrong of an individual. We find that for mu'mineen there is a special grace all the way through. The wrong they did in this dunya, Allah wants them to be purified before they enter the hereafter, and in different ways and means He compensates them. Either it's illnesses, either it's problems, afflictions, seizing away of blessings, etc. So that way the pain which a mu'min sees in this dunya, the wrong he had done here is shed away. If that wrong was so much, says a painful death will be given to that mu'min. And if it was corrected by that death of his, then he is fine to enter the hereafter. And if that wrong was so much that even after seeing that painful death, he wasn't purified, says he will have a painful barzakh, life after death, until the day of judgment, to whatever amount of wrong he had done. And if he was corrected, well and good. If he wasn't purified even in barzakh, says the correction facility which is the hell, a mu'min, he will be thrown there, he will be purified, and once he has purified, he will enter the heaven. The reason for all this is that iman of his which he possessed, that is tawheed, adl, nabuwa, imamat, qiyamat, that was saved. As a result of that, he will enter the heaven. We believe that someone whose fundamentals were firm, he will not reside in the hell forever. Khulud for him doesn't exist in the hell. Mu'min whose fundamentals were secure, his khulud, his everlasting life will be in the heaven. If there was wrong, that will be corrected, that will be purified, and then he will be sent to the heaven. But someone whose fundamentals were faulty, then that khulud is going to be in the hell. Now, someone to whom this hell has been assigned, with regards to entering the hell, or that sirat which Allah has laid in the hereafter, says, إِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مُحِيطَةٌ Jahannam, it's surrounded, according to Quran. And that sirat, which is the bridge, which is finer than hair, sharper than a sword, is here, amidst this Jahannam. What about Rasulullah? He also has to pass that sirat. If he has to pass that sirat, it's surrounded with this hellfire, according to Quran. So is there another pool lane for him where he doesn't pass through that hellfire? No. Everyone has to pass there. Quran says, إِن مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا That is, Surah Maryam says that everyone has to pass that sirat. That is, everyone has to pass through that Jahannam, from that Jahannam. Even Rasulullah. When he was inquired, he says, yes, I will also pass from that Jahannam, but my passing from that Jahannam will be like a flash. For mu'mineen, we find a similar quote. Says that mu'mineen who possess this iman, that iman of theirs will not allow that fire to hurt them. It's like these non-stick pans you have. Mu'min is burn-free. Mu'min doesn't burn. Because of that iman of his. Says that mu'min doesn't burn. And then the other hadith says that mu'mineen will be said, we were said in these majalis, reciters, orators, speakers, they all mentioned to us that even a mu'min has to pass from Jahannam. But how come we entered the hereafter, we came to the heaven, but we did not see the hell, it did not hurt us. Says that, قَدْ وَرَدْتُمُوهَا وَهِيَ خَامِدًا That is, you did enter that fire, but that fire was put off for you. That is, your iman was so strong, and even we have quotes and ahadith that Jahannam, it talks. Like every other creation of Allah, this Jahannam also speaks. Says that, towards mu'mineen, addressing them, says, be quick, run away. Because your presence in this Jahannam is putting away my fire. So mu'min is that great, exalted being of Allah, for whom all these glorious blessings of Allah are present. So everyone will pass through that hell, and even if Rasulullah was to enter the hell to help someone out, that is the concept of shifaat that we have, that even a'imma, they possess this shifaat, mu'mineen of higher ranks possess that rank of shifaat, ulama, they possess that rank of shifaat, that is someone who is stronger and higher in rank can help someone who is lower and weaker in rank and pull him out, help him out in the hereafter or even in this dunya. That is the concept of shafaat, and shafaat means that rahimiyyah, the reflection of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, which is again that compassion and special share of mercy towards mu'mineen. Now, the other question was regarding the ilm of an imam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given this beautiful blessing to us, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ, and in the hereafter and on the day of judgment we will be questioned about Na'im. Na'im is this blessing of Imamat, blessing of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam. Says, how did we deal with him? How were we obedient to him? Etc. So ilm which Imam possesses is among the main requisites, among the main requirements of an imam, like the infallibility in ismat which he possesses. So ilm they have bestowed to them by Allah, but living in this world, like you and me, the duties that they are bound to, they have to live like you and me. Now, regarding this, for example, Imam Mujtaba alayhi salatu wasalam, his wife is Jabir, his killer. How come he lives with someone who will poison him? If he knew that she was going to kill him, why did he not get rid of her beforehand? We have a concept, a teaching here, a formula which says that qisas qabl al jinaya, that is qisas before the crime has been committed, is not allowed. It's haram. You can't judge someone or punish someone before a crime has been committed. So although he knew that ilm he possesses, ilm is an issue which exists all the way through. May that be the ilm of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. May that be the ilm, the knowledge of ma'asum, or may that be the ilm that you and me possess. Many a times we know that a teacher who teaches, she knows that which of the students will pass, which of the students will fail. At the end of the year, exactly what she had predicted happens. Will the parents of that student come and say that it was your knowledge because you knew my son failed, because you knew my daughter, she passed? That doesn't happen. Ilm, it's separate. Ma'asumeen, they knew. Even the tragedy of Karbala, it was known. The Ziyarat Ashura that we have, it is a Hadithul Qudsi. It was recited way before the tragedy of Karbala. Allah, he knew. Jibreel, he recites. We find in Quran, Allama Adam al-Asma, that Allah, he taught the names to Adam. Now what are these names? It is the names, they are the names of the five. Then when these names were taught, and when the name of Abu Abdullah Hussein was mentioned to Prophet Adam, he says that, what is that present in this name that hurts me? It makes me cry. Then the tragedy of Karbala was revealed, and the first one to recite that masaib and the musiba was Jibreel alayhi salam, recited to Adam. Now this is thousands of years before this tragedy of Karbala has to unfold. Or for example, we find that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was galloping and all of a sudden he trips. He falls off his horse. And then he, mu'mineen are such that whenever something happens to them, they analyze as to what has gone wrong and why did this affliction, this tragedy happen to me. And when he starts analyzing as to what went wrong, Jibreel descends, says, where you fell, it's this pit, wherein the grandson of the Holy Prophet, who is to come thousands of years from now, he will be beheaded here. So there, that knowledge, that ilm, or the tragedy of Karbala, which is to unfold, was mentioned by Jibreel to Prophet Adam. The same thing is with Prophet Musa, he pricks his foot. Prophet Isa, the same thing, that when they come to this land of Karbala, something happens and they inquire and they are told what is going to unfold over here. Now the attack on this house of Wahi, that is in Medina after Rasulullah, or even in Karbala, what is to unfold, did Abu Abdullah and Hussein not know that what is going to happen? Or when this caravan had arrived here, Ali Akbar alayhi salam, he has a map. He wakes up and he says that I smell blood, I smell death here. And then he reveals that to his father. Father says, yes, this is to unfold. And then he says, Awalasna bilhaq, are we not on the right? And then Umar Abdullah, he explains to him. So all this was known to them. The other thing we find over here is that ilm of an imam biyumnihi ruziq al-wara, that is, through the imam, sustenance of everyone is provided. Rizq of everyone is provided. Today it's the 12th imam. During the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, it was imam. Who was the imam? Biyumnihi ruziq al-wara. Through him, the rizq of the creation was provided. If it is death, Imam has to sign it. If it is life, he has to certify it. If it is rizq, if it is provisions, it is food, sustenance, whatever it is, it has to come through him. That is the channel which Allah has laid. Now, the question is, normally when someone knocks the door, it is if the male member of the house is present, he opens the door. How come? When Amir al-Mu'mineen was present in the house and they come and bash and knock and yell at the door, Zahra has to come and open the door or come by the door. A question. If he knew that this is to unfold, did he not know? He knew. As if he has to sign the death certificate or the shahadat certificate of Zahra, allowing her to go towards the door. Or the same thing in Karbala, did Abu Abdullah and Hussein not know that what is going to unfold on the day of Ashura? So long as he is alive, he says that one nisa laysa alayhim haraj, that is, women, they are not at fault, that is, you fight with me. And then Umar Saad, he also replies, says, yes, okay, we'll fight the man as he is a benevolent warrior. So let the women and children alone. So did he not know that after that day of Ashura, that is, after him being killed, they will not attack women and children? Then why did women and children come to Karbala? The question, why did she open the door on the day of Bay'at after Rasulullah? One of the interpretations, the Fasir, that we find is that her coming to the door and he bringing the family to Karbala is so that the hatred, the animosity these enemies have towards the Ahlul Bayt is shown and seen. They portray their hatred and everyone sees what exactly they are doing, they are up to. The same thing is in Karbala. If the women and children were not present, that animosity or that insulting and that disgrace which they showed towards women and children would not have been shown. Or their reality as evil figures would not have been seen by us, would not have been known by us. So that is one of the things. Or for example, we have a quote here. Now, day of Ashura is day of Azan, day of mourning. Every horror was seen on that day. Imam, he sees that all the members of his household, they are killed. Now one of the beauties that we find over here on this day is that to lose someone who is so beloved, it's difficult. Imam, he loses everything of his which was so loving and beloved to him. His sons, his relatives, his friends, his companions, and the last most was his infant. That also was given away. Now here, one of the companions present in this battle of Karbala, he says that I have no one, no brothers, no family members, and the only one present in this battle here is this friend of mine who is the most dearest to me. And then he says to his friend that I want you to die first. And normally we would say, and we would pray that friends should live. We die first, he lives. He says the reason for that is, I want to see and feel the pain of losing someone who is so dear. When Abu Abdullah Hussein can see the pain of losing his most dearest children, brothers, Bani Hashim, companions, friends, and his infant, I have no one. I just want to feel how it feels, see how it feels, losing someone who is dear. Says to his friend, you die first, I want to feel the pain. Now, keeping all that pain, grief, sorrow, horror seen by Abu Abdullah, comparing it with those few hours after Rasulullah. Here Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that Masaib that Amirul Mu'mineen saw were adha wa amar, much bitter, more painful than the Masaib seen by Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Why were they as such? Says Abu Abdullah did not see his wife, his children being attacked whilst he was living. Amir al-Mu'mineen saw. He is an imam. He knew. He saw. Ilm also is there. Now, here we see that in this scenario which unfolds in those few hours, and when Amir al-Mu'mineen, the strongest, the bravest of his time, no one like him. So loud Rasulullah spoke about him. Friends and foes, enemies, everyone knew who he is. The bravery which he possesses, the might which he has. When you find such a mighty person, strong person, rope in his neck, being dragged out of his house, house being burnt, wife being attacked, says that there was a Jew present in that vicinity. The moment he sees Ali in this status, he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And there he embraces and becomes a Muslim. Someone present over there says that, why now? Were you not present in Khandaq? Were you not present in Khaybar? You saw the bravery of Ali then. Why did he not become a Muslim then? Why? Now, he says, what I see in Ali now did not exist in Ali then. There is something special now which is present in Ali, as a result of which I embraced and I become a Muslim. That is, there is something hidden over here. Someone who is so strong, who could lift the gates of Khandaq, who could fight so strongly in that Khaybar, in all those wars, if he wanted, he could take his sword out, finish everyone, and stay safe and keep his household safe. There is something there. Before the tragedy unfolds and before the wafat of the Holy Prophet, we find Jibreel alayhi salam, he comes to Rasulullah, says that I have messages to deliver. A message to you and two messages for Ali. Message to Rasulullah was given. Now when it is the turn of Amir al-Mu'mineen, says that Allah's instruction are that you, Ali, have to be patient. That right of yours, which is imamat, which is that khilafat, will be seized away. And Allah's instruction are that so that this nation of Rasulullah does not break, you have to be patient. He says, okay, if these are the instructions of Allah, Ya Ali, as-sabr, hatta yanzil al-amr, wala quwwata illa billah al-ali al-azim. Patience, patience. These are the instructions of Allah. And then says that the second thing, when he mentions to Amir al-Mu'mineen, he collapses. Says, what is that? Says, Zahra, in your presence will be hurt, will be hit. This tragedy will unfold. So he was informed. Amir al-Mu'mineen was informed, Rasulullah, he informed. And even in the teachings that we have in these ahadith, when Rasulullah, he ascends to the heavens on that eve of Mi'raj, says that Allah, he informed him what is going to unfold on his daughter, how she will be disrespected and insulted by these, and how that khilafat and imamat will be seized, and upon them he says, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un," and Rasulullah weeps and cries. We find that when they come to the house of Wahb, and after all those incidents that unfold, they regret. They want to come and apologize to Hazrat Zahra. They come, she does not allow. And then they seek help from Amir al-Mu'mineen to mediate for them to come so that they apologize. Here, Zahra alayhi salam, her beauty, her greatness is such that she says that Al-Bayt Baytuk, house is your house, Ali. Wal-Nisa lir-Rijal, women are for men. Whatsoever your instructions are, if you want them to come, let them come. So yesterday it was mentioned, and I referred to many books this morning. And here I'm quoting from Baytul Ahzan, and also from Shaykh Abbas Umi. He says that she, upon the mediation of Amir al-Mu'mineen, she allowed them to come. And when they come, now someone who is a guest, first thing is that, as mark of respect, I sit facing the guest, or whatever the sitting position and posture is in that. Now when they come to see her, and she is the one who has to meet them, here the quote says that she sat in a way facing against them. That if she was to sit facing them, or this way, she faces in a different angle. That is to portray that she is displeased, she is not happy that with what has unfolded. They say salam, she does not reply. And again, it was mentioned earlier that there are some etiquettes of this salam, where the salam has to be replied, where it has to be responded. Salam means well-being, name of Allah. So you can't expect well-being to someone who has hurt in that most dreadful way, and we also say salam to. So here says that she does not respond to them in their salam and portrays that she is unhappy. Now here we find many teachings from Ma'sumin alayhi salam. The Prophet he himself reveals from the Almighty Allah as to what is going to unfold. One of the other things that was mentioned regarding Qunfus, he is the slave of Umar. Now here, these are hadith quoted from Amir al-Mu'mineen and also from our sixth Imam. It was as such that they were in, after this khilafat that was seized, there was a time they were in financial crisis. And in financial crisis, they don't pay, as it was the rule, and what we see here, many a time, many, many months pass, and the salary is not given to the workers. Here, for 1.5 years, those working in that system were not paid. A person, he comes to Amir al-Mu'mineen, and the same quote is seen from our sixth Imam, says that how come in these financial crises, where for 1.5 years the workers, the employers were not paid, Qunfuz was paid. None of his salaries were deducted. He was paid on time. Here Imam says, شَكَّرَ لَهُ ذَرْبَةً ذَرَبَهَا فَاطِمَةً. That is, as gratitude, as thanksgiving, for that affliction, for that darba, for that hitting, he hit bisawt, that is with that lash, فَمَعْتَتْ وَفِي عَذُدِهَا أَذَرُهُ كَأَنَّهُ الْدَرْبَجِ. And then says, as a result of that lash, she had a bruise, and that bruise was like a wristband on her arm. So, we find that for her, in the way, the support which she extends towards the Imam, it's amazing. It was mentioned that when it comes to this Awliyaullah and Awliyaul Shaitan, the two of them, they move in an equal and opposite direction. If shaitan is to lay a foundation of inhiraf and deviation strong, which has to continue that deviation until the end of time, awliya Allah also have to lay a foundation stone which has to be so strong that every brick of it, Zahra has to lay it in a way that people, they continue their support until the day of judgment. Now the support we see towards Rasulullah in Karbala by Abu Abdullah is taught by Zahra. That is, if Ashura is Ashura, after all, Fatimiyya is the mother of Ashura. That is, the mother has to teach the son a way how that support has to be extended towards the household of Wahi and this, to this concept of Imamat. Now, we find that it was mentioned that how come Amirul Mu'mineen, so strong, so great, winning all the wars, and when it comes to prayers, he is as humble as that. When it comes to ubudiyyat and obedience, there is no one much more obedient than him. How come all that oppression? We find in ziyarat that As-salamu alayka ya waliyallah, that is, salam be upon you, O waliyallah. Anta awwal mazlumin, that is, you are the first of the those who were oppressed, mazloom. Wa awwal man ghusiba haqqu, that is, the first of those whose right was seized. We don't find these phrases for anyone in ziyarah. Sabarta wa ihtasabta hatta ataka al-yaqin, that is, you were patient so much until that death it draw near to you. Fa ashhadu annaka laqita Allah wa anta shahidun, that is, I bear witness that you met Allah and you were shaheed. Adhab Allah qatilaka bi anwa'i adhab, and those who killed you be punished with the worst and the variety of rats and punishments. Wajaddad alayhi al-adhab, not just that, and that azab of that be renovated and continue. So these are the du'as, the recitals, the ziyarat that we find towards Ahlul Bayt. Or for example, it was mentioned that Zahra, she never smiled from the day she was hit and from the day Rasulullah passed away until she passed away. Once she was reminded, and when the Adhan was recited by Bilal, and when he said, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, she passed out. People thought that she has passed away. And they say, Bilal, stop that call of Adhan, because Zahra has passed away. She had fainted. Upon being reminded of the time of her father, as to how that Adhan was recited by Bilal. And then she says, Bilal, continue with the Adhan. He says, allow me not to say that Adhan, because I fear that breath of yours will stop. She also allows, and that Adhan was not recited. And it was mentioned regarding washing of Zahra, that is, performing that ghusl and etc., and how she was laid to rest. Here, one of those who resembled Zahra al-Marziyya the most is her own granddaughter, and that is Ruqayya bint al-Husayn. She is among those whose father and the mother was Abu Abdullah himself. When she was born, her mother, she passed away. And she resembles her grandmother the most. So much so that even her death resembles her grandmother. Says that it was in the ruins of Sham. And when our fourth Imam was inquired that you saw all these afflictions, all these pains, where was the most and the toughest that was seen? He says it was Sham. Says, what was so special in Sham? Says, one of them, it's this toddler of Abu Abdullah and Hussein, just 3 years of age. She was reminded of her father in the prisons. And there was a crying at that night, distance from the prisons, from the ruins, to Yazid, La'natullah alayhi, it's just a very small distance. says when there was this crying and wailing in the ruins, he says, what has happened? He was informed that it's this toddler, daughter of Bob, the Lama, who is reminded of her father. Says, okay, take this head and show it to her. Those Malayim, they bring the head of Abab, the Lama, and throw it in the laps of this toddler of Abab. She looks at him, says, Abata, man alladhi qata'a waridak? Father, who severed your veins? Says, Abata, man alladhi aytamani ala sivarsin? Says, Abata, who is going to look after me at this young age of mine? Abata, man alladhi qata'a waridak? Ala la'natullahi ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها 10 times يا الله 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 Ilahi, by the toddler of Abadullah, all those who are in an ailing, grant them shifa. Ilahi, bihaqq al-Zahra, all those who have passed away, forgive them, elevate their ranks. Ilahi, bihaqq Ali, all those who are oppressed worldwide, free them. Ilahi, bihaqq Ali, all those who are killed in his way, be raised with him. Ilahi, by this toddler of Abu Abdullah and Hussein, our children to be enlisted among the best of Muslims. Ilahi, hasten in the return of our Imam, our Master. Count us among the best of his servants and those who seek Shahadat in his service. Ilahi, between us, Quran and Ahlul Bayt, may that be in this dunya, barzakh or qiyamah, never ever come about a separation, even for a moment. Allah, there is a lot of wrong that we have done, forgive us. Wa'ajjil fi faraji mawlana wa sahib al-zaman, matam al-husayn.
Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein.